Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I can't hear you. It's a great day today in Jesus' name. Welcome to this Youth Empowerment Summit with great, great expectation. And I'm going to present every one of you before the Lord that what you never thought about, what you never dreamed about, the height you never thought you would reach, today we're agreeing together in faith, you will reach there. And the Lord will hold your hand, and the Lord will guide you and lead you to that point what he created you for, you are going to achieve in Jesus' name. But you need to give me your attention, because I want to pack everything full today so that nobody will have any excuse whatsoever that he will say he didn't know about this area or this area. As for that success, we're going to get there. It will be done in Jesus' name. When I shout, you shout. When I speak aloud, you respond aloud. And when I say in Jesus' name, if you can hear the way you hear, you respond, I can hear you too. In Jesus' name. We're going to rise up now. And you're going to commit yourself to the Lord. Just in a very short, a brief prayer, you tell the Lord, oh Lord, here am I today to be empowered, energized, strengthened, helped, lifted up, so that that summit, that peak, that height, the Lord has ordained for me, appointed for me, I will reach the goal. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great appointment today. We know that you planned this, you organized this, and you brought every child, every boy, every girl here for a purpose. You want to lead us to higher ground, greater ground. I pray, oh Lord, it will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. All the failures of the past, all the defeats of the past, all the sorrows of the past, all the problems and challenges of the past, we come here today to cancel everything. And it will be canceled in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, I pray, you open a new chapter of a new book for everyone here. A new direction, a new dream, a new understanding, a new power, a new courage, that now we'll be able to focus on where we're going, and everyone will reach there. Lord, as I talk about the message right now, 10 times better. Fulfill it in every life. And multiply the success. Multiply the victory. Multiply the triumph. Multiply the accomplishment. Multiply your supply. Multiply your resources in everyone here today in Jesus' name. I know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, thank you very much. We can sit down. We begin our program with this message right now. 10 times better. I want you to look at those words in the Bible. It's in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I'm reading there from verse 20. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom, and in all matters of understanding, that the king inquired, examined of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel and his friends had been admitted for a 3-year course. That course of study had now finished. They were to take the final exam. All the exams they had been taking before this time had been supervised, organized, and evaluated by other teachers, other leaders, and other officers in the land. In this final exam, because of the position they wanted to get to, and the position that the king wanted to lead them to, he wanted to do the exam, or he wanted to examine them himself. He must have the right evaluation of the people he was going to use. And therefore we're told that the greatest examiner in the land, the greatest authority in the land, the king himself, a man of knowledge, a man of science, a man of history, a man of great understanding in engineering, he got all these people together. And it was a national scene because they all came from the whole nation. And then as they were examined, he found Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, four of them. He found them 10 times better than all the other people in the whole nation. And I want you to understand that is a place you are going. That is what the Lord is going to do for you. But how did they get there? When they were brought in 3 years earlier, there was something in them. You have to see this, because it's when you read the whole book, you'll be able to see that. Number one, as they came into the class, they had, number one, desire. You know, nobody ever gets anything done without a desire. 10 times better, that's because they had a desire. Nobody eats any food without a desire. You not drink water without a desire. You not even get out of bed in the morning without a desire. You're not going to go to school without a desire. Neither are you going to do anything different from what other people are doing. You start with number one, desire. Number two, decision. You know, once somebody desires something, I want to get there. I want to get to the top. I want to be knowledgeable. I want to be scientific. I want to understand history. I'm going to do literature. That's desire. You come to a point, you say, I've desired enough. Then you come to decision. And that is where the backbone of some young people is broken. Their backbone is like straw. They don't have any decision. They just have a wish, an intention. I want to do this. I want to be. I want to go. I want to get. Desire is followed by decision. And then after they took their decision, if you read the whole book, you're going to find out there were challenges that came, difficulties that came. They had to make a choice. And then it says they purposed in their heart, determination. Determination. You show me a boy, show me a girl. That just like, you know, here and there. I want to do this, I want to do, I've decided this is where I'm going. And then when a little challenge comes, a little difficulty comes, there is no determination. I thought I could do it. But now, see my challenge, and then you can't find them anymore. Desire, decision, determination. That's what they urge when I read at the end of the chapter. And it says, the king examined them, and they were 10 times better. I know where they're coming from. And then number 4, deeper devotion. Not just devotion. There are some devotions that float on the sea, on the river. But these were people that had deeper devotion. Or when they got to that class, can I tell you, they had to study quite a lot of things. So you look at chapter 1 of Daniel, they had to study languages. And the language I'm talking about, the Chaldean language, they had to study. It's not in the character, the English character. If you have seen the characters of the Korean language, of the Chinese language, of the Arabic language, or you have seen the characters of the Russian language, you'll understand what I mean. Even the characters of those languages, the letters, they're so confusing. But these were children that said, somebody is teaching us that he learnt it. If he learnt it, I can learn it. Somebody is writing that already. He knows it. He wasn't born with that. If he knows it, I know it too. And it was that devotion that was not superficial that got them to where they got to. If there's a person that just says, I'm determined, but he's not devoted. It's not giving his very best. I mean, your soul, your mind, your brain, your thoughts, everything you've got, you wake up in the morning, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. You go through the day, that's what I want to be, that's what I want to do. And then you're sleeping at night, that's what I want to be, that's what I want to do. It is that devotion that is deeper than the superficial people. I'm going to school, I'm following them. Daddy said I must get a degree. Daddy said it's not what Daddy said. This is personal, daily devotion. You'll have it in Jesus' name. Number what? I said number what? Okay, I know it, but I'm just saying, I want to get you with me. Number 5, daily discipline. Have you seen some children? They leave home, they're going to school. But then, between home and school, there's a distraction. There is a kind of internet cafe. Or there is a drinking saloon. Or there is a friend that is doing social, say, birthday party. And between school, home and school, they vanish. You can't find them again. They are not at home. They are not in school. Where are they? Distraction. But a person that is going to make it in life, he must understand that you have daily discipline. What is discipline? You know, we know a lot about external discipline. When a teacher says, this you must do, that's external discipline. When a mother says, my daughter, you cannot do that, that's external discipline. When a leader in the church says, you can't do that, that is external discipline. I'm talking about internal discipline now, personal discipline now. That you are your own policeman. You are your own captain. You are your own soldier. And your spirit will tell your soul, you cannot do that. Your spirit and soul will unite together and tell your flesh, tell your body, you cannot do that. It is that personal, daily discipline that gets us there. And when I read about Daniel and this man and, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it says 10 times better they were. And I'm working on it. I'm going to be 10 times better than I am today. I said I'm going to be 10 times better than I am today. How about you? Just say amen for me. Say your own. I am going to be 10 times better than I am today. Amen. Number six, diligence. You know, people that when they add something, for example, if you look at the wall here, you can't see the blocks, but there was a bricklayer, and it started from the ground. He wasn't thinking, looking up. I'm still going to that height. What will I get? Yes, no. Bring me one block there, another block there, another block there. Little drops of water make a mighty ocean. Block by block, one after the other, makes an impenetrable wall. And it is that diligence, a step at a time, a day at a time, a subject at a time, and you are there and you're doing it. I'll say nothing is going to get me out of this. I must finish this. I'm writing an essay, a word at a time, a phrase at a time, a sentence at a time, a paragraph at a time, and I'm just there. And while I'm there, a particular word escapes me. I don't pack it up and say, well, good night. I've forgotten that word. I just stay there, a word at a time, a sentence at a time, a phrase at a time, and I'm getting it and getting it. Diligence until it is done. You'll do it in Jesus' name. And then, number seven, everybody say seven. Discernment. Discernment. I should know who I'm going to befriend. Discernment. I should know who is going to walk along with me. Discernment. I should know where I'm going, and I should know whether this fellow is actually going to be a good companion or not. But some people, they have good brain and good mind and good books and good teachers and good school, everything good, except they don't have discernment. They cannot discern, this friend will not help me. They cannot discern, this attitude will not help me. They cannot discern, this advisor cannot help me. They cannot discern, they cannot discern a Friday from a Tuesday, a Sunday from a Saturday. Every day is for freedom and frivolity. But if you're going to make it, and you came here because you want to make it, I said you came here because you want to make it, you'll make it in Jesus' name. That's how they succeeded. One, tell me. Two, tell me. Decision. Three, tell me. Determination. Four, tell me. A deeper devotion. Five, tell me. Daily discipline. Number six, tell me. Diligence. Number seven. Well, it's on your mouth now. It's going to be in your heart. It's going to be in your mind. It's going to be in your brain. And when it saturates every part of you, nobody can stop you from succeeding. I said nobody will stop you from succeeding. Now I'm going to read our passage. Look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 17. 10 times better. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. And skill in all learning. Stop there for a moment. You know, this one, this subject is difficult. I cannot handle that. All learning. This one is tough. I cannot handle that. It's all right, but the teacher is not good. And because of the teacher, I'm going to abandon that. No, in all learning, they got it all. I will get it all. I said I will get it all. And wisdom, And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the day that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed, he discussed, examined, he interacted, he related with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In this nation, the day will come. I said the day will come. And the day is fast approaching when they will test you from all directions. And there will be nobody like you. They say, where is this one coming from? This one doesn't look like a Nigerian. This one has the source of his knowledge from heaven. You are the person I'm talking to. I'm talking about you. Even those of us who are teaching you, and those of us who are in the church, when I see you tomorrow, I don't mean tomorrow Sunday, I don't mean tomorrow 11th, I mean tomorrow. You understand? I said, you understand? When I see you in days to come, it will be difficult to recognize you. Your knowledge, your wisdom, your position, your power, your privilege, I'll say, where are you coming from? You say, I'm one of your children. Oh, I say, A child has become greater than the father. I said, a child has become greater than the father. It will happen in Jesus' name. And then it says, therefore stood they before the king. And in all the matters of wisdom, all matters of understanding, that the king inquired of them, He found them, say that again. He will find you 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Let me now go to 3 points. Number one, the foundation. Number one, the foundation. Number two, the formation. Formation. Number three, finishing. You see, we have a foundation. And then there is a formation. The Lord forming you and guiding you and making you and molding you. And then the finishing line. That's what we saw there at the end of the course. At the end of the day, see what happened to them. Number one, the foundation of totally transformed beginners. The foundation of totally transformed beginners. As you begin, and you say, that's where I'm going. You lay a foundation. And that's what you're talking about there, the foundation of totally transformed beginners. Number two, the formation of truly teachable believers. The formation. When you are teachable, truly teachable, really teachable, and you say, I want knowledge. I want somebody to teach me. I'm teachable, truly teachable. And I believe the formation, how God forms you, the formation of truly teachable believers. Number three, finishing with 10 times better. Finishing with 10 times better. I see you getting there. Number one, the foundation of totally transformed beginners. Let us look at the foundation. We're looking at Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The jaws began. And you can see the very foundation that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were laying. They said, if we're going to get to where we're going, this project must have a foundation. This school period must have a foundation. And this learning must have a foundation. It was that foundation that helped them to be able to build a kind of career 10 times better. Let's look at that foundation. Daniel 1 verse 8. In Daniel 1 verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That was the foundation. That was the very beginning of the course. And he said, we must set it straight at the very beginning. You see, there are some people that they don't want you to know their conviction until later in the course. I don't want them to know now that I'm a Christian. I don't want them to know now that I believe in the God of heaven. I don't want them to know my background, where I'm coming from. I'm going to hide everything. Daniel said, no, let's set it straight from the very first day. And if you do that, it means that people can count on you. And people can reckon with you and say, this is where he stands. As foundation is important to a building, so it is important to our lives. Your life must have a foundation. It's important to our schooling, to our college days. Your education must have a foundation. It's important to your career. If you're going to be able to make a mark, and you're not just going to be part of the pack, part of the crowd, one of the many sheets of paper that, you know, the wind may blow away. If you're going to distinguish yourself, it begins at the very foundation. A building without a foundation will eventually collapse, and eventually it will fall. Lives without foundation always fall and fail. Let me say that again. Lives without foundations, they always fall and they fail. But watch foundation did Daniel and his friends have? And again, we're looking at the whole Daniel, at the whole of the book. And we're looking at all the things they demonstrate, all the things they reflect, all the things they show in their lives. Number one, they were saved. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Show me children that were threatened were being thrown in the fire, and they will not bulge, they will not bend, and they say, no, we're not going to serve your God. It's the grace of salvation that did that for them. Number one, they were saved. And when you, as you come here and you want to, you just leave on. A foundation is not something you just take for granted. Somebody is building, and I'm asking the builder, did we lay a foundation for this building? He said, I hope so. No, we're not hoping. We have to know. We have to know so. I think so. We don't have to. We shouldn't think. This is so important. We cannot leave it to chance. And it is so important that we are born again, that we are saved. And because it is for your foundation. It is for your security, and it is for your strength. It is for your future. And so you come to the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, this salvation, I want to be saved. Then you kneel between you and God alone. This is not community salvation. This is not national salvation. This is not tribal salvation. This is personal between you and the Almighty God. You come to the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, I am. It's not that we are all sinners. We're all bad people. Young people play pranks, and I'm one of the young people. We're all kind of, you know, because we're young, we're all like, this is personal. Lord, I know I am a sinner, and I'm asking forgiveness personally. I'm asking for cleansing personally. I'm not shifting the blame on daddy and mommy. They made me do that. I'm not laying the blame on the boys and the girls in our community. They made me do that. I'm not laying the blame on the teachers in the school. He made us pay this amount of money so that we can have the expo. No, I did wrong. I am responsible for this. It is that personal acknowledgement, that personal confession that leads you to believing personally in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to be born again. And this is what these children, what they have done. That's why the Spirit of God bore witness in their hearts that they were different. You'll be different. I said you will be different. Begins with that foundation, number one, saved. Number two, studios. Studios. When I say studios, studios, study. A child that was always studying. Daniel said, hey, we have only 3 years to do this. Look at all this pile of books. To read through every day, everything like this, we have to do something. They were studios. And then they had no time to, you know, go here and go there, nightclub. Somebody wants to become an engineer, doesn't have time for that. Somebody wants to become a doctor, doesn't have time for that. Somebody wants to become a professor, he doesn't have time for that. They were studios. And if you're going to make it in life, salvation is important. You know, sometimes I meet some young people, they say, Pastor, I don't understand, I'm saved. Born again, I'm righteous, I'm a child of God, and yet we took exam and my pastor prayed for me and we had you praying for us, you know, every time, and then I went for the exam and then I didn't make it. Why? And you told us that we will make it. I said, are you saved? He said, Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm saved and saved and saved all over again. I said, were you studious? He said, Pastor, I cannot lie. I like playing. Well, I said, but you know, if your teacher had examined you and tested you on playing, you would have made first class. And Pastor, you know, I like sleeping. I said, that's a problem. Because if your teacher had examined you on sleeping, you would have been 10 times better than all the other people. But they are not going to examine you on sleeping. They're not going to examine you on eating. They're not going to examine you on just being free and frivolous and here and there. They're going to examine you on what's in those books. And we have to read them before we know them. That's why, number one, they were saved. Number two, they were studious. Number three, they were selective. Selective. Don't you see? They are drinking that wine. I am selective. I cannot do that. They are eating that. I'm selective. I cannot do that. I choose for myself. People like us who are aiming for the mountaintop, we don't do that kind of thing. All the other people can do that after all. What's their goal? What's their life? What's their aspiration? They are men and women of the valley, boys and girls of the valley. I am for the mountaintop. The mountaintop people are people who are selective. And therefore you select your friends. You select your companions. You select the books you read. You select what you browse on the internet. You select the places you go. The people who make it in life, they are selective. Give me number one. Saved. Give me number two. Give me number three. Number four, sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. You know, these were not people that you could just put any blemish on them. You know, somebody wants to do some abominable thing and say, Daniel, come. How do you like this? Let me offer you this, a little cigarette. And then Daniel says, you know, I don't like it, but I don't like disappointing you. I like pleasing everybody. No, not Daniel. He said, keep that to yourself. I'm different. Hey, Daniel, have you heard, since you came to this school, there is a gang of astrologers. There is a gang of voodoo people. sacrificing people. There's a gang who says, don't come to me with that. I'm not that kind of person. I came here for one purpose, not to join a gang, not to join a group, not to join the people that are serving Satan. I came here for a purpose. See where I'm going. Let me ask you, all those people, when they go to school, that join this and join this and join this and join that, and they know how to fight, they know how to drink, they know how to go to nightclub, they know how to plot against school authorities, they know how to break the windows, they know how to riot. Where do they get to later in life? At the peak? I don't see any of them there. I've been looking, I've been watching. I've never seen any of them there. I always see them in the valley. And so Daniel said, I don't want to end up in the gutter. I don't want to end up in the valley. See where I'm going. And because of that place I'm going to remain sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. As if I couldn't hear you. As if you are just waking up. As if now you want to be like a Daniel. Number five, single-minded. You know, anyone in life that wants to get to a place that other people are not getting to, you know what I discovered? The majority of young people in life, they wake up in the morning, what am I going to do today? They don't know. What am I going to achieve by the end of this week? They don't know. What lessons or lectures would I have gone through by the end of this semester? They don't know. What kind of grade do I want to make at the end of the session? They don't know. They just work with people. They are not single-minded, but show me somebody that he gets to that school and he says, you know what? There is one thing I must take out of this college. There is one thing I must take out of this school, and it is this. He writes that down. And then he puts near his bed at home, her bed at home. Every time he comes home and looks at the wall near the bed, he sees, this is my goal. This is what I want to become. He puts it near the fridge, where he normally takes drinks or water or whatever. Every time he comes to that fridge, he sees, this is what I'm going to become. He puts it at the bathroom near the mirror. Anytime she's, you know, trying to dress up and before the mirror, he sees that, this is what I'm going to become. Everywhere he turns, he says, I'm for the peak. I'm for the mountaintop. A single-minded person like that, like this Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are the people that make it. And I'm going to be Daniel's companion. I said I'm going to be Daniel's companion. I said I'm going to be Daniel's companion. And it is when you are like that, single-minded, that you say, that's where I'm going, you reach there in Jesus' name. You know, as I look at these young people here, 10 times better, you know what I see? At the foundation, they were systematic. That's number six, systematic. You know, a person that is just haphazard. It takes an English book, after 5 minutes, I don't think I want to say that now. It takes mathematics, after about 10 minutes, I think I should have taken chemistry. And after chemistry, I think that the history is something they told us, I forgot to take that. Where is it? It's not steady and it's not systematic. But a person that goes from page 1 to page 2, hey, page 3, there's a rock there. It's like, I have to go and do some geology before I can dig into this page 3. But it's systematic. He said, I'm not going to jump. I'm not going to get crushed. I'm not going to cheat this third page I'm finding difficult. I am going to keep on chewing, keep on reading, keep on learning, keep on investigating until I see this. I will break it up. I'll break it now. I will analyze it. I'll bring it together again. I'm going to make it. Those are the people that make it, and you will make it. I said, you will make it. Number 7, they were selfless. That's one word. I break that word into two. Selfless, but selfless. What do I mean by that? A person that is full of self, and self is saying, don't you like pleasure? Yes, I do. Go for it. Don't you like food? Of course I do. Go for it. Don't you like sleep? Of course I do. Go for it. Don't you like friends? Being social? Of course I do. Go for it. Every time, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. You'll not go for distinction. You'll not go for high grades. Because you see, we love pleasure more than we love pain. And if you're going to be one of the people that gets there is one thing. You are selfless. What that means is, on Monday, you deny yourself just a little. Say, I'm looking for something today, even if it's a piece of groundnut, even if it's a piece of biscuit, even if it's a word I normally say, a word I normally use, but daddy has been telling me that word is rude. Don't say that again. Even if that's word alone, I'm going to deny myself of today just one little thing. Selfless. Then on Tuesday, I've conquered that little thing yesterday. I got 1% out of 100. And then on Tuesday, I say, what is it in my life? Laziness, procrastination. Push it forward a little. Push it forward. Push it forward. Okay, today I'm going to be selfless. I'm going to deny this self a little bit more. And I'm going to deny myself of this. By the time you do a little today, a little on Monday, a little on Tuesday, a little on Wednesday, a little on Thursday, selfless, 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 you'll discover before you reach 100 days, which is less than 4 months, you're different. Things are happening now. You're able to discipline yourself, able to sit down, able to reach, able to do what you need to do, because you laid the foundation. I pray you lay your foundation. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, foundation. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And there we're reading from verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There we're looking at verse 19. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Then it says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Say it. Depart from iniquity. That's the foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure. I come to point number 2 now. The formation of truly teachable believers. Formation. Formation. When we say formation, it means we form something. You make something. You create something. You build something. You develop something. It's a development. Is a making, is a maturing, is a building up of a believer that is truly teachable. I'm going to, you know, let you remind you of this. No teacher likes to teach unteachable children. You know, he gives assignment, they never do it. He's teaching the class, they never pay attention. He wants them to be like him. He wants them to be greater and higher than himself, but they never pay attention. That such a teacher will go and look for other students somewhere that are teachable. But thank God, thank God, thank God a million times that here today we have teachable young people. I said, thank God a million times you have teachable young people. You know, that's why sometimes I ask you point one, point two, point three, and then you tell me, but you reflect everything and shout everything at me. I say, hey, these are teachable young people. When I see young people like that that are teachable, I know you are going somewhere. I said, I know you are going somewhere. And you are going to get there in Jesus' name. Now, teachable, truly teachable believers, how are they formed? I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And I'm reading there from verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22. And I'm reading there from verse 6. Let me think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daddy was not there with them in Babylon. Mommy was not there with them in Babylon. But they had been trained. They were teachable. They had been formed. And the formation was very clear when they were in Babylon. You could see their decision. They didn't have to be running for a counselor. They said, I should drink, should I? Daniel said, I know enough not to. I don't need a counselor for that. They offered sacrifices to their idols and their gods. I'm looking for counselor, counselor. I've been waiting for you. And because you are not around, I didn't know what to do. Not Daniel. Daniel says, I know what to do. And then they raise up this big, gigantic idol. And he said, when you hear that sound of music, everybody fall down and hit your head on the ground and worship the idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where can I find counselor? They didn't need counselor. They knew enough to say, we will not do that. They had been trained. That's why we are trained. You know, I'm surprised some of our young people, you've been saved and you've been in church now for how many years, and then when we say 2 plus 2, you know the answer, but you're not going to answer. I'm looking for counselor to tell me 2 plus 2 before I answer. Should you cheat on an exam? You know the answer, but I'm looking for counselor before I can say, no, I will not cheat. What kind of a person is that? The reason we are trained is to make use of our training when the challenge comes. And for you to be able to know, I don't need a counselor for that. I don't need a teacher for that. I know that already. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. And there we're looking at verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Give me a good amen. Amen. Train up a child. Do you see that little word up? Training gets us up. It doesn't say train down a child in the way he should go. It's the lack of training. It's the lack of teaching that makes us go down. But when we are trained, we go up. That's why it's so beneficial for us. When you have all this teaching and training and all this developing and all this maturing and all this transformation taking place, that's why it's good that, you know, we're training you up, not training you down. And so train up a child in the way he should go. And when that child is old, he will not depart from the way of the training. How are we formed? How are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how are they formed? How are they matured? How are they developed? How are they raised? If you look at this word, train, T-R-A-I-N. T, if you're going to train people, you start with a T, you teach. You teach. And that's why we say we're truly teachable. In our training, we must be taught the subject matter. There is knowledge, there's understanding, there is wisdom. There's some young people, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. You need the raw material of knowledge. And you need the understanding of application of that knowledge. And you need also the application of that knowledge and understanding to the situation in which you find yourself, which is what you call wisdom. There can be no wisdom without knowledge. The basic raw material that we need is the subject matter, which is the knowledge. That's why we read those books and study those books and listen to those teachers, because there is teaching. Not only that, we teach, we tell. You know, as we train young people, we tell them stories. Young man, young girl, this is the way I was. When I was your age, then I tell you stories. When I was at school, then I tell you stories. We're teaching, we're telling. Testify. You know, when we train, we're giving testimony. I've been in that same challenging situation in which you find yourself. Let me give you my testimony. See what the Lord did. It was a little bit delayed. I even thought it would never come, but God taught me patience because of the time it came. And so you must be open to teaching, to telling, and to testimony. R is to reach. R is to read. You see, all the training is not, you have to cooperate in the training. When you are being taught, when we're telling you, when we're testifying to you, then you're reading. You read. But you see, there are some young people, they read about 10 pages of a particular subject while we're training them. And then after about 2-3 days, they cannot remember a word, an idea, a principle from what they have read. You know why? When you read, you later repeat that same reading. You've read those 10 pages, then you go over again and you repeat. Not only that, you recite. Recite is the first. You close the book after you have read, and then you say, what do I remember? I remember this, this, this. You put them in what we call bullet points. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then those 4 points that you got out of those 10 pages, you link them together. And as you link them together, when you remember,